For Sunday, October 7th, 2018, welcome to Our Redeemers Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Let's begin today with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked him, "Isn't it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Sisters and brothers, abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours through Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are in this together. From the very first pages of the Bible, this is made evident. We are in this together. So God created, we read in the first chapter of Genesis. So God created humankind in his image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female. He created them, created. God created to live in community with one another. We are all in this together for good or for ill, and so we must learn to treat one another gently. Now, when we read this passage from Mark, the word divorce jumps out of the page. And a preacher might as well sit down when that word divorce is uttered, because in each of our heads, a sermon has already been given. You may be reminded of other sermons you have heard. Your experience with the idea of divorce may bring up painful memories. But let us treat each other gently here, and let us try to see how it is that this passage from Mark has much more to say to us. There was an occasion when I led a study on this passage from Mark, and one of the participants of that in the room that day made it quite clear that when I offered a sermon on this passage, I needed to condemn divorce as vehemently as I could. God's law was clear, after all. A friend of mine, Pastor Doug Vold, who used to serve as the pastor at St. John's here in Helena, tells a different story. His parishioner approached him and asked, why doesn't the church ever stand for anything? His parishioner was saying that the church needed to hold a hard and fast line on God's law. Pastor Vold answered his parishioner like this. He said, the church does stand for something. The Lutheran Church stands for grace. We are all in this together. And just as God has dealt with you and me graciously, so we are to treat one another with grace, leaving room for not knowing all the answers. The problem with passages like today's gospel lesson is how they hit us on a personal level. Perhaps you've been divorced. Perhaps you are a child of parents who were divorced. Perhaps you have some other deeply personal experience with divorce. So you hear Jesus' words here and you take them personally. I once had a man join my church, the church I was serving, because he had gotten a divorce. And because he had gotten a divorce, his congregation would not let him sing in the choir anymore. And he really liked to sing in the choir, so he wondered if our choir allowed divorced people. For whatever reason, no matter what your experience is, you may have a strong reaction to this passage from the Gospel of Mark. But I ask of you that today to take a step back from your reaction and listen again to how this reading started. Some Pharisees came and to test him, they said, is it lawful? Did you catch that? Jesus is reacting to a test question. And the question isn't really so much about divorce, it is about the law. It's about the Pharisees' understanding of God's law. And the question is asked so that they might catch Jesus departing from their understanding of that law. Now, even today, there are any number of reactions to the idea of divorce in our time, but it was the same for Jesus. Divorce was widely accepted to be a legal thing. The question of the day was, under what circumstances was it allowed? Under what circumstances did the law say this was okay? The Pharisees' purpose was, you see, to entrap Jesus in an answer that they could use against him down the line. But Jesus wasn't going to give them that satisfaction, because it's not about the law. It is about relationship. God's intention for each of us is for healthy, loving, mutually satisfactory, and respectful relationships. Relationships are more than some legal matter. They are about life-giving and life-sharing relationships. And that begins in the creation story. God saw that it was good, but he saw that it was not good for us to be alone. So God created relationships, partnerships, community for us. Jesus takes this conversation about the law and he pushes it, you see, into the realm of doing justice, of taking care of one another and dealing gently with one another. God intends to protect the vulnerable and those without a voice. It was easy under the law for a man to be granted a divorce, but when that happened, the woman lost everything: status, reputation, economic security, everything. The Pharisees wanted the conversation to be about a debate on the law. Well, the law is intended to protect the vulnerable and the hurting. And every time that it is used for another purpose, we are twisting it from the Creator's intention for our lives. We indeed are violating the spirit of the law. Jesus isn't speaking to individuals, you see. He's making a statement about the kind of community, the kind of relationships that we have. He's inviting us to imagine communities that are centered in on real relationships, relationships founded on love, on mutual dependence, fostered by respect and dignity and equality, and pursued for the sake of the health of the community and for the protection of those who are vulnerable. It would seem that this scripture is about divorce. Our reaction to even the word divorce leads us to believe that, but at the heart of what's going on in this passage from Mark is justice. Because in telling the story, Mark gives us the reaction of Jesus and of Jesus' disciples to those bringing children to Jesus. Jesus has already announced his intention to go to Jerusalem to walk towards the cross. And in response, his disciples argue with him about who's greatest. Jesus in turn tells them that to be great is to serve, and that the very heart of the kingdom, he proclaims, is about welcoming the vulnerable. He says that whenever you welcome and honor a child, one who was, I might suggest, the most vulnerable in their culture, whenever you welcome one such as this, you are welcoming and honoring Jesus, because you are following the spirit of the law, the spirit that calls us to care for the vulnerable. Now, on the heels of that conversation about the purpose of the law, some folks bring their children to be blessed, and the disciples try to keep them away. And you see, Jesus intervenes at that point, forcefully saying that welcoming the kingdom means welcoming the most vulnerable. This whole passage, I think, is about justice and about community. It's not about the letter of the law. But it's not the kind of community that we are trained to seek in our culture. It's not a community of the strong or the wealthy or the powerful or the independent or those with the most privilege. Rather, the community that Jesus suggests is a community of the broken, of the vulnerable, of those who are at risk. In other words, of those who know their need to be in relationship, who seek to be in relationship with each other because they have learned that by being honest and open relationship with each other, they are in relationship with God, the very one who created them for each other in the very first place. That is what the church was originally about. A place for those who had been broken by life or rejected by the powerful or who came to experience God through the crucified Jesus as the one who met them precisely in their vulnerability, not to make them impervious to harm, but to be open to the brokenness and need of the community in which they lived. It's a hard thing for us to remember. I wonder if Paul had to remind those people in Corinth when he wrote, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what was foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. Part of being human is to be insecure, to be aware of our need, and in light of the cultural preference for strength and power and independence, to be embarrassed, I would suggest, to be embarrassed by that need. For this reason, Paul, following Jesus, reminds us that to be broken isn't something to be ashamed of. Rather, to be broken is, in fact, to be human. And to be human is to be loved by God, to be drawn together into relationship with all the others that God loves, which means that our gathering on Sundays are local gatherings of the broken and the loved, of those who are hurting, but also those who are healing, of those who are lost, but also those who have been found, of those who know their need and seek not simply to have those needs met, but have realized that in helping meet the needs of others, their own needs are met in return. I urge you, let's not leave this passage from Mark thinking it's so much an instruction about divorce, but rather it is an invitation to see our communities as these places where God works to heal and restore the whole broken creation, and that is an ongoing job. God does that not by taking away all our problems, but by surrounding us with people who understand, people who care, people who help us to discover together our potential to reach others, because, you see, we are created for each other, a community of the broken. We are those broken whom God loves. We are those broken whom God is healing and indeed using to make all things new. Martin Luther King once wrote, "We must learn to live together as brothers and sisters or perish together as fools." We are a community of the broken and the blessed, saint and sinner, and together we may discover God's life-giving grace, love, and mercy. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening, and have a Christ-filled day.